This is a PlanetPhilip.com podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Raven Home Podcast. This podcast is a chance for some authors to discuss the maps that they made and perhaps the maps that other people made and the theme in general. Joining me today is Darren Weeks. Hi, Darren.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, everything. I'm recording a podcast. And you?
Everything. I'm participating in a podcast.
Oh, okay. That's a coincidence. And apparently the weather in the UK is just boiling. All right, great. And joining us is Jim Partridge. Hi, James. What do you prefer, Jim or James?
Jim. Only my mother calls me James when I'm in trouble.
Oh, God, yeah. But every time I call you Jim, I keep thinking of the Doctor from Star Trek. It's just going to drive me crazy. I'm a designer, Jim, not a doctor.
You're the only person in the world who calls me James.
Yeah, oh, really? Okay, I'm going to keep doing that. You and your mother, I love that. All right. And joining us is Dan Jordan. Hi, Dan.
Hello, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks. Now, I think you're the earliest bird here. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning for you, is that right?
It is 5 a.m. It's so early that the Windows little desktop widget for the weather still shows the moon.
Wow. I've never seen that before. Pardon? Say that again?
I said I can beat that. It's 4 a.m.
Oh, gosh. Okay, and our last joinee is Abraham Lee.
Hello.
Hi, Abraham.
Hey.
It's 4 a.m. for you.
4:07 exactly.
4:07. Wow. Well, thank you either for staying up or getting up. Really appreciate that. So have you just got back from a party or something?
No, I just got up, got back from my bed.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that for the two early birds. Thank you very much. All right. So let's start with the podcast itself. Raven Home, what was your initial thoughts when you first saw the theme advertised? I think we'll start with Dan. You go here, Dan.
Great excitement. Raven Home obviously is probably one of the single best chapters in all of Half-Life 2. At least that's my opinion. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't actually something that when I played it the first time, I thought, oh, I wish there was so much more of it. It was like the perfect length in the game. But the moment I saw that the mapping contest was announced, my mind was suddenly flooded with what were all the other things you could have possibly done in Raven Home. And it was a great prompt.
Okay. All right. Abraham, what about you? What were your first thoughts?
My first thought was, oh no, more fast zombies.
Okay. And then, are you a fast zombie lover or hater?
I was just afraid I was going to have 10 fast zombies running around me because everyone would just throw them at you.
Yes, it was a possibility. But were you excited or thought, okay, well, I could do this?
I was actually pretty excited because I think I'd been planning to do a Raven Home map for a while. I'm like, yeah, might as well do it now.
Okay, all right. All right, James.
I think I was kind of almost relieved. I'd been working on a project of my own. I was going crazy. I just couldn't move forward with it. So I was like, something else to do, and I can do this. So, yeah, I was just really, really excited about it.
So it was like a distraction for you in a sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, okay. Now, Darren had a little bit longer, just in case the listeners don't know. Darren created the bonus map.
I cheated.
And, well, no, not at all. Because, I mean, I contacted you, I don't know, 6 weeks or something? Maybe a little bit more before I announced the theme. And I said, look, I have this idea for a bonus map where one person gets a chance to spend almost twice as long, three times as long as everybody else, but they're not part of the competition. So I mentioned it to you, and you sounded pretty keen.
Yeah. I think it was mainly because I just had obviously more time to work on the map is great after tearing my hair out on the Ambushville map. That's a bit crazy. I tend to kind of take things a little bit too far in a 10-day competition. So having the extra time is great to polish it. So yeah, I was really into that. And of course, Ravenholm is just a fantastic theme, as Dan said.
Yeah, I hate that level, which is people kept asking me, why did you ask for a competition when you hate the level? Because I thought that it was a good theme for it. So, you know. Okay, who replayed Ravenholm before they started work on the map? Anybody?
Yeah, I did.
I did.
Okay. In a different way than you played it before?
Just kind of looking at the things Valve did and trying to pick on things that they didn't do that I wanted to do. So it wasn't just more Ravenholm that you've already played.
Yeah.
Trying to do something a bit different.
That's what Dan said, wasn't it, Dan?
Yeah, and it was also for me looking at it visually just to try and really understand the nuts and bolts of the design of the level. What sort of textures, what sort of materials, and how they're sort of thrown together.
Yeah, it's like the architecture and that kind of thing is really what I dive back in there just to really pull out the key themes and the what would get that feel.
Abraham, what about you? Did you go through it again?
I didn't play it again, but I looked over the maps and read a article someone had posted about the design.
Okay. Yeah, so you're more really deconstructing it rather than just playing it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay. So once you'd got the theme and you'd sort of seen the post about the theme, how did you go about planning? James, you start with this one.
I had a sort of a number of different concepts, but the first concept I really came up with was the idea that it would be the player could be Father Grigori almost and be living in, or not living in Ravenholm, but having to have to defend Ravenholm against the Combine. So that was kind of my initial design idea. And I built it after a week and it was just awful. It really was no fun at all. And so I had to do a quick change of pace and reuse the geometry I built for a different thing. But yeah, that was my initial approach. So it had a very sort of circular design with multiple routes through it and that kind of thing. And it was trying to be very open world and just didn't work out that way. But that was my first crack at it.
Yeah, but I mean, I have to say, you should have won a prize for the name. I just love that name. Welcome Home. That is so clever.
Yeah.
And did you get many playtesters to sort of go through your first, I won't call it version, but okay, I'll call it version. First version.
Talking to at least two of them on this call anyway. I tend to have a group of about four or five different mappers that I asked to have a crack, Darren and Abraham being two of them. And I'm sure if Dan wants to join, he's very welcome.
Okay, we've got like a little bit of design incest going on here then. So you were sharing your designs with another competitor in the competition, is that right?
Not Darren, because he wasn't actually taking part. And to be honest, I can't remember if actually I asked Abraham to test it or not, did I?
Don't worry, I'm just teasing you. I've got no problem. If you guys are happy, then I'm happy. All right, okay. And Abraham, I mean, what was your first like build of your map like?
Well, I first had an idea that the player would like go down, essentially fight us kind of like up a street, and then take a minecart and just backtrack over everything they did.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I started building the map and I made the first section, I kind of went a little bit crazy, so I had to like cut it to half the size it was going to be.
Okay.
So the journey was a lot shorter, and I had to cut out like zombines and all that sort of stuff.
All right, so do you still have, like, parts of a map that you could put together or something?
No, I finished the first section, and then I was like, uh-oh, this isn't going to work, and I never built the rest of it, and just did the new revised part.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think maybe this is a good time to just ask a quick question, which is how do you feel about the 10-day time limit? Dan, you start with that.
It's just long enough to see the potential in what you're creating, but not long enough to actually make it better. But that's not to say 10 days is bad or too short or anything. It's, for me, both times I've done these competitions, it's been satisfying but frustrating because you always get just far enough to see how awesome what you're making could be with enough time and effort. But as you're going along, you know you don't have that much time to spend endlessly, you know, improving and iterating on one particular area. You've just got to get it done and move on to the next.
Yeah. James?
I quite liked it. I've never done a VIL competition before, so this was my first go at doing it. And the thing I liked about it was that it didn't give me time for any frivolity. I just had to focus on the actual gameplay and getting something done, if you know what I mean. So, you know, normally you'd spend ages on an area detailing or whatever and that kind of thing. And it doesn't leave you any room for that. So you can actually really focus on, right, here's my main areas, here's what's going to happen in them, and just work on that, and then hopefully get the level of detail up to a point where it's not horrible. But I really liked it because it really got me to focus on what was important in the mapping piece rather than, you know, focusing on things that really didn't matter that much.
Yeah. Abraham?
I completely agree with everyone else. It's like the perfect timing where if you start planning on day one, you'll be able to just get the gameplay in and just stop there by the 10th day.
Yeah. All right, Darren, I mean, you didn't have that limit. How different would your map have been if you'd have only had 10 days?
I don't think I would have built the same map at all.
No, I suppose not. That's a fair answer. So what did the extra time give you?
It was mostly kind of polish and detailing. Although, to be fair, I kind of built the map as detailed as it is. I kind of built that as I went along, which is a mistake, but that's kind of my Achilles heel when it comes to designing levels. Can't help myself. Mm-hmm. But it was just kind of nice being able to go in and just iterate on a lot of the different things and make them better. I was kind of working all the way up to the deadline, just polishing various things.
Yeah, I mean, my problem is that when I've given longer time periods, people have become too ambitious because they think, oh, I've got 3 weeks. Oh, no problem. I can build a huge level. And then it backfires on everybody.
Yeah.
And I get more people who start building maps and less people who finish them the longer I do the competitions.
Yeah. I do agree with the rest of the cast. The 10-day limit is actually really nice for just focusing on what's important.
Yeah, and it includes 2 full weekends, which I think is, I mean, really the weekends are most important, I suppose.
Especially the first and last weekend, if it works out that way. Having a long period of time right at the beginning and right at the end.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I always end my competitions on a Monday so that everybody has like a full weekend to polish or, you know, whatever they need to. All right, so James, on a scale of 1 to 10... how happy are you with your entry?
I'd say about an 8, but it was more by luck than anything else that it turned out so well as it did.
All right, okay. And just describe your level to the listeners, and then what we do is we'll get the other cast members to give their thoughts on your level. So start by telling us about your level.
Okay, so the concept is that you've returned to Ravenholm, and you've brought Alex along with you, and you've gone in search of Father Grigori, essentially to save him, I think is the sort of the implied storyline. And so you sort of fight your way into the heart of Ravenholm, and then you discover that, well, maybe I shouldn't give that away. I'm assuming everybody who's listening to this is probably but you know, you discover that he's done away with himself, but he's left you with the final job of actually getting rid of the town and wiping it out. So that's kind of your way through. So as it turned out, the flow of the map, it has a sort of quite a neat little story that sort of ties itself up at the end, which as I think was
ties itself up. That was a fuck of
fun.
Wow.
Sort of that judgment. But it was, so as it turned out quite well. But I think there's enough in there, old Ravenholm plus. People have described it as sort of a mix of Ravenholm and Deep Down, my last kind of project, which was kind of my intention, I guess, but just because I know how to do that. So that was kind of how it turned out in the end.
All right. From a technical point of view, did you sort of start with any ideas about, I want this kind of interaction with the player, I'm looking for this kind of gameplay situation?
My initial sort of design was a bit different, but the idea would be that the player fights through as a very sort of linear, straightforward level, and then things would open out once you got through to a certain point. I think the thing I did want was that I would make the most out of a fairly small space, and so as a result, I made quite a lot of interconnecting views between, and basically, I just worked out the most lengthy player path through the entire area that I could do in order to get as much gameplay out of it as I possibly could do. So that was kind of, you know, a bit of an aim there, was to get as much as possible.
Okay, all right. Dan, do you remember playing Welcome Home?
I do. And I think I played that. I think that was the very last one that I played. And that was a really good one to play last because it had a great level of detail, a really interesting construction because of all the twisting and turning, especially as you're going down through the warehouse and you could get to the bottom, but having to open up the pathways for Alex. Actually, I can't remember if it was going up or going down, but having to open up the pathways for Alex to follow you was a really interesting aspect that I greatly enjoyed.
Okay. All right. Abraham, do you remember playing this one?
Yep. I actually replayed it a while ago to find that secret door.
Okay.
I liked it. I thought it kind of actually reminded me of the hospital from episode one, just less Combine, I guess. And it was I love the addition of the Zombines at the end. It really changed it up, and yeah.
Okay. All right, Darren.
Yeah, I liked it. I think the issue I had with it was that a lot of the areas felt the same. So like you'd go through all these different doors and areas connecting. It was all really, really interconnected, as James said, but I found myself getting quite disorientated. Like, I wasn't quite sure where I was in the map at any given point, because there was no real kind of strong landmarks.
Okay.
But the gameplay was fun. I mean, I think a couple of areas could have done with a little bit more pacing. It felt like you had this kind of intro at the beginning where there wasn't a lot of combat, and then from like the middle right to the end, it was just fairly constant, I think. But
okay.
But for the most part, yeah, I enjoyed it. The combat was fun.
I mean, I have to admit that I haven't replayed the mod since I first posted it. But this is the one with the not the puzzle, but the car that you can release.
Yes. Yeah, that was
great.
Is that
right? Where did you get that from? Did you get that from Jason Gimba? No. Because I thought that Jason had released some sort of toys for people to use within
No, maps. That was just something I came up with. I was looking for a different way of using sort of familiar elements that we'd seen before, and having a car roll down a hill just struck me at one point and went with that. But
yeah, that was good. I'm an idiot when it comes to these things, but I turned a corner and I killed all these zombies, and then I came back up the hill and it was like, there's a car. Shit, I could have used that to kill all the zombies.
Yeah, so, I guess you always kind of want to bring these things more into play as much as possible, but, you know, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, exactly. All right, okay. So let's talk about Dan's level. Dan's level was called Rabbit Home. Okay, so tell us about your planning and your thoughts, Dan.
If anyone is curious, I'll lead off by just saying the only reason I named it Rabbit Home is because my internet handle is The Rabbit and I had no other ideas. My general approach to level design in general is when I know the environment that I'm working in, when I know what the prompt is, basically to just try and come up with a list of events and experiences and then try and make of the level that contains those in some sort of organized fashion. So my approach is literally just, first sitting in Google Docs and saying it'd be cool if the player did this and this and this and this. In the end, I probably only got to make about half of what I wanted, which is one of my displeasures with the final product, is that it's, in my opinion, too short. And there's like a whole second half that should have been roughly between when you get the gravity gun and the very final battle that I just didn't have time for.
Okay.
But that's how it goes.
All right. Okay. And Abraham, your thoughts on Rabbit Home?
I thought it was pretty good. I don't want to reiterate on some other stuff I said, but let me just think of some stuff that stood out to me. The room with all the fast head crabs in it, I didn't know how you were, supposed to avoid them until I'd seen someone else play it. Like, there's this little pipe that goes up the wall and over all of them. I completely missed that, so I ended up just throwing props over the edge, hoping to squish a couple of them. And I love the fast zombies chasing the train. Like, they slowly catch up to you, and then when they jump over the bridge, I thought that was a really neat bit of scripting there.
Yeah, the ending was kind of cool, but I'm not sure everybody got to that point. A couple of people said that they sort of gave up before they got on the train, or they weren't sure what to do, which was a pity.
Yeah, that whole final battle wasn't at all how I wanted it. but it was mostly one of those situations where I wasn't sure how to do quite what I wanted to do with the limited assets that I had. You know, ideally, knowing that I was going to have a horde of zombies for you to fight and then open up another path, it was sort of a difficulty in figuring out just how to, you know, draw attention to the fact that the path was opening, have a narrative justification for why the path was opening because of your actions or because of the zombies. And it was one of those situations where I just ran out of time, and the door opening up to let you through could easily be missed by anyone not paying attention. You know, all you have to do is be trapped in a corner somewhere else. Yeah. And you could easily miss it. And I think, okay. And I think I didn't have enough playtesters to really appreciate how difficult it was for other players. Everyone, I had maybe three people playtest the map, and they had no difficulty. So obviously, you sort of assume, well, it must be okay then.
Yeah.
Similar.
Who? Sorry. Go ahead. Go.
No, I was just gonna say similar to like the problem with the warehouse full of fast head crabs and the first room where you get the gravity gun. I hope that if I had had more time to have more people play it, I would have realized, you know, some people don't realize the other way through the environment or the correct solution. But oh well.
Okay, James, you wanna talk about Dan's entry?
Yeah, I think it's a map with really strong memories for me. It's got these kind of points, and you can tell that Dan's really kind of listed out, these are the things I want the player to experience, these are the things I want the player to sort of come away with. For example, the projected texture with the fast zombie shadows, which is brilliant. It's absolutely fantastic.
Okay, sorry, let me stop you. What's that?
A section where you're coming around a corner and you see the projected shadows of fast zombies running across the wall in front of you, and it's a real moment. It really, really captures the essence of Ravenholm. It's fantastic. As well as, you know, a room with 50,000 head crabs on the floor, you know what I mean? It's just these great moments of kind of points that really stick in the player's thing in memory. But I think, yeah, more playtesting would have totally, you know, nailed the fact that unfortunately some players like me just went and ran through the
last line. Who used the beta testers collective? Anybody?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did not.
You did not. I'm sing their praises quickly because they were great, helping me test my level.
Yeah, they're fantastic. The testers that you use, Dan, are they designers?
Yes and no. Mostly they're just friends from friends and family. My wife quickly ran through it. My brother, who is a game designer, ran through it.
Okay.
Another level design friend ran through it. Mostly it was just I was trying to get people who were really good at it, people who haven't played Half-Life like since it came out, and some people in between, to try and just get a mix of different competencies.
Yeah, because in my experience, sometimes designers get too many other designers, and they don't see the things that regular players do. They see other things that regular players don't. But from a gameplay point of view, they're not always the best testers. Let's talk about one of the rooms, the room with the broken stairs. Yeah, exactly. There we go. You know what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think the room, we're talking about where you had to place the wooden boards to get up, right?
We are, yeah.
So I think that whole room would have been fine if, when the player had put the board in the right place, it just snapped into position.
Agreed.
And then you could just walk up.
Kept falling off.
The problem was that the player would work out how to solve the puzzle, get the wood, place it on the stairs to get up. But then the actual act of doing that was the frustrating part. It was like, I know what I have to do, but because the Half-Life 2 physics is a bit janky with these kind of things, it makes it really, really awkward to actually physically get up.
I kind of disagree with that to a certain extent because I had no idea what I was supposed to do. It took me, I rage quit at one point and then came back to it later on and eventually tweaked what was going on. But yeah, it was just the fact that I just didn't get that board at the top was a physics prop, you know?
Yeah. Abraham, thoughts?
I actually like the placement of the board at the top, because you're just like, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to get up there? Oh, hey. And then I realized it was the same texture as the board that I was already moving around. I'm like, oh, hey, I can grab it. And, oh, that fixes my problem. But it was just the second part. Sometimes.
I just want to say this. I got desperate. And there's a whole bunch of broken steps lying around that are physics props, right? They're just these little boards.
Oh, God.
And I tried jamming them into the shelves to create like a step ladder to get me up and over the fence. That was my solution.
Oh, dear.
Actually, at one point, I tried using the saw blade and shoving it into the wall and then putting the board on the saw blade.
Yeah, that was... that's actually an interesting situation where I wish I had more designers, because I never would have thought of having it snap into place once you've got it right. Of course, that runs kind of counter to how they normally do physics puzzles. That level, or that area of the level, more than anything else, is probably the one that suffers the most from not having enough time and preparation, where I knew as I was finishing and cleaning it up that it was a really substandard area. It wasn't well laid out. It was really narrow and constricted, something terrible for managing to move a giant board around. And it didn't flow in an obvious way. You sort of got a sense of where you were going, but not really. And it was just this bad setup of like a puzzle through obscurity. You didn't know what you were trying to do. You didn't know what the tools for doing it were. And I wanted a little bit of exploration of like trying to find the large board at the top, but the execution was not nearly as good as it could have been. And so I understand everyone's, and I do say most everyone's struggle with it.
Yeah. For me, it broke what I'd call my 80-20 rule, which is that it should take me 80% of the time to figure out what I need to do and 20% of the time to actually do it with regard a puzzle. For me, the puzzle is figuring out the answer, not actually doing it. And I kept dropping the board and the board kept moving. And that was really the frustration. I realized I needed to use the board. I picked up the board, but I just couldn't use it. And as Darren said, if it snapped into place, you know, I wouldn't have called you all those horrible, horrible names that I did as I was playing it. So, you know, but I mean, you learn from these situations. You know, you probably won't make that mistake again. Or if you do, you're never coming on one of my podcasts, that's for sure. No, but I mean, these things are just a learning process, aren't they? They're fun to do, but you still learn from them every time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And half the time when you're trying to do something like that, it's usually something you're doing because you haven't done it before. And have to fall into all the normal pitfalls.
I think another issue with that area as well is that once you've done that puzzle and you've jumped out the window onto the platform and then across to the opposite building, if you fall down there, do you have to do that whole area again with the boards? Or is there a shortcut?
Yeah, another terrible idea is that after you get out, like a zombie breaks through the door below you and you have a shortcut back in, so you don't have to run all the way around the block and crawl through the vent to get in. But it really should have been a shortcut that brought you back to where the open door was to make the jump to the girder.
Drop-down ladders are wonderful things.
that was just poor planning on my part.
All right, okay. So sorry that we've spent more time on picking a hole in your map.
It's the third place winner for a reason.
All right, so on to Abraham. Tell us about your map, Abraham.
Well, basically, you're just supposed to escape Ravenholm, and you just fight through a horde of zombies, and then you just take a minecart ride, not minecart, just a cart ride to the mines, and you escape. And
all right. Okay. So, I mean, that was your original plan, or did that develop as you start building it?
That was my original plan. Originally, the street was going to be much longer, and the holdout was going to be like some factory. It would be zombines and fast zombies and poison headcrabs everywhere. And then, but because, as I said before, I realized that was going to be too big, and so I had to cut it down, and instead of doing more of a come there and then come back, it was more of a loop design, which was something I really wanted to get in to get that.
That was cool. I like that.
Yeah. And then as I was designing it, I also had little set piece ideas. Like, I really wanted to have the idea that there was other survivors, so I added like the gunfire and the help cries in the distance, and you see that citizen running by. And I also kind of did that because I wanted to pace out the weapons and the enemies. So, like, in the beginning, you're fighting headcrabs and then poison headcrabs, and then just slowly introduce the enemies one at a time instead of just throwing all of them at you. I really wanted to do that.
Okay. Darren, your thoughts on Abraham's level?
Yeah, I really, really liked it. Especially the final combat at the end while you're waiting for the bucket to arrive to get into.
Definitely.
That was probably my favorite arena in like all the Ravenholm maps.
Agreed.
It was so hectic, really, really tense. I just remember running around like a madman, just shooting everything I could. It's a really, really cool design because you've got all these like figure of eight loops in the arena and all these wooden barricades which you can break down. The zombies come in all over the place. It was really, really fun. But you always had kind of room to move around as well, so you didn't get kind of backed into a corner. It was great.
This is where like playtesting really came in handy, because I had one guy playtesting it, and originally there was like this truck right in front of the cart, so it was just he had a little bit too less room. That doesn't make any sense. He didn't have enough room. So thanks to him, I was able to move the truck out, and it made the arena so much better.
Yeah.
I played it three times.
Oh, yeah.
Because I died the first time. When I have to play an area twice or three times, that, for me, that shows that the designer has done a really, really good job. If I get through most levels without playing twice, then it's too easy. And I normally play on easy. So those are the levels that, you know, stick in your mind. The same for the million headcrabs in the room from Dan. I had to play that twice or a couple of times. And I tried different techniques, and I really like that aspect, that you had time to almost prepare yourself. It was almost like an ambush feel, in the sense that you've got like a few minutes, you can, okay, I'm going to move all of the crates here, and I'm going to put this here, and I'm going to hide in this corner for a little bit. And I really like that aspect, that I've got different strategies to try. Was that a purpose, or did you do that on purpose, or was it more luck than judgment?
Kind of not, kind of so, because like when I was designing the area, I was like, what if the player doesn't have ammo? So I'm like, throw some physics props around and just a couple explosives here, maybe hide a saw blade over there. And I even put little health pickups where the zombies spawn. So if you were running around or exploring during the combat, which now that I look back wasn't the best idea, but you could get a grenade and a couple more health and ammo and that sort of stuff.
You know, that's a really good point, and something that I thought was really interesting about designing for Ravenholm. When you have the gravity gun as part of the prompt, and you know, well, the player might run out of ammo, but then you have, you know, props they can use the gravity gun for that will never get destroyed, like the barrels, mm-hmm. that they can always rely on if they need to, without it, you know, just filling the level with crates of ammo and looking ridiculous. You can present a weapon to use in a much more natural way.
Yeah, I mean, going back to that idea, I did an event last year or a year before called the replay experience experiment, and I replayed all of the games and wrote my thoughts, and other people did. And this time, I did the achievement for Ravenholm, which was just with the saw blade or just with the gravity gun, and I actually enjoyed it much more that way, because it makes you think more. And that's kind of one of the things I was hoping for from Ravenholmville, would be few weapons that you fire and more clever things that you use with the environment.
Yeah, I actually did a video analysis over on my channel on YouTube about Overrun, about Abraham's map. And the thing I said that I really liked about it, I mean, Gravgun is key to Ravenholm. You've just got it in the game, and now you're kind of, it's the first time you really take on some bad guys with it. And what the clever thing about Overrun and what Abraham allows you to do is he allows you to walk into a room and there's a situation, but you have time to plan and deal with it. And you've got all these physics props around you, so you have the choice of how am I going to take care of this situation. And it's so enjoyable. It's really, really good.
Actually, one thing I want to mention real quick about the gravity gun. The gravity gun's great, but I realized after I'd released the map that I really should have gave the player a crowbar, because one guy got pinned in the corner with two fast zombies. There actually is a crowbar. I think I showed Jim where it was. It's actually in a hidden area off the side when you first exit the building, but I really should have signposted it better.
Yeah, it's pretty well hidden. But it's a great extra section for anyone who finds it, so a little bit of replayability.
Did anybody consider using the super gravity gun? I mean, I know it breaks the sense of, you know, in the real game, we wouldn't have had it at that point, but, I mean, there was no limit in that way. Did anybody think about that?
Nah, it's too overpowered, really. Yeah.
I've played around with it a little bit, and it's quite fun to pick up zombies and throw them around and stuff, but, it wouldn't have worked in this situation, I think.
Yeah, okay. All right, Darren, let's talk about yours.
Yes. Well, let's see. I just really wanted to make... I wanted to have the feeling that you're actually in an entire town. And so one of the things I really wanted to do was when the player goes up high, like onto a rooftop or on top of a building, that you can... It feels like you're looking a long, long distance away. So a lot of that was just building the map in a way that it's all kind of contained in a single area, mm-hmm. which, looking back, was actually a nightmare of an idea. When you're doing optimization and whatnot, it's, oh my God, don't recommend it. But yeah, I just wanted to have these really cool vistas when the player went up high to activate the capacitors and to just offer some choice, like you can go this way or you can go this way. And depending on which way the player goes first, the rest of the map plays out differently. And then just having a nice payoff at the end with the little ride in the bucket.
Okay, so the map plays differently if you go in different directions. Can you expand on that?
Well, essentially, you just get different items. So if you go to the church first, you grab a pistol. If you go to the apartments first, then you get the shotgun. And just stuff like that, basically. Nothing too major, but...
Just different directions. Okay, and tell us about the shotguns.
Oh, okay, so this is for my Ambushville map. I obviously had the... little hidden items in the water in the map, but there was no payoff for finding them. It was just kind of like a well-done message. So the idea was I'd put collectibles in this map as well, but actually have a decent payoff at the end this time. The idea kind of went a little bit overboard, that the shotguns really aren't kind of very lore-friendly, obviously. But I just wanted to have something fun in the map that players could find, and the payoff being that if you go to the church, once you've found them all, there's a ghostly Father Gregory which will help you get to the tram station.
Ah, okay. I didn't know what the payoff was.
Yeah, that's another problem that a couple of people mentioned, is that even if they found all eight, they didn't know what it did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if I recall, you actually have a message saying return to the church after you find them all.
Yeah, it was a bit cryptic. Funnily enough, all the beta testers earlier on were saying it's way too cryptic, and I actually updated it to what you see in the map now, and they said it was fine, but... Obviously didn't go quite far enough.
Yeah, because I didn't go to the church until I'd already collected the shotguns anyway.
Yeah.
Just because that's the way it worked out for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay.
Oh, so you didn't know that getting Father Gregory was the special achievement. You thought it was just
I would have assumed that that was part of the map anyway.
Yeah, that was kind of an issue. The whole Father Gregory thing kind of got away from me. I had a little bit of tunnel vision, like I want to make this cool thing which people can find, and it just kind of got away from me a bit, so I'm trying to rein it in a bit now.
All right, okay. So let's just talk... we've got to give everybody else a chance to talk about your map. Sorry. James, thoughts on the bonus map?
I mean, it looks amazing. It's great work, and I've been kind of badgering Darren to open the map with the vista of the entire town from a high point, because it's just a fantastic layout and it gives the player, you know what I mean? It really is a moment.
I'm working on it.
But I think that's the key, you know, if you were going to have one selling point for that map, that would be it. It's just amazing. I mean, some of the puzzles I found a bit too abstract. I struggled with some of the, working out that I was supposed to pick the bar up on the far side of the door, you know, in the warehouse. And I think the water tank as well, counterweight puzzle, which once you see it, you're like, oh, it's right there. But it's
too high. Players don't see it. Yeah,
that had me running around a little bit. But I mean, you know, once I sort of, you know, got my way through those, it's a fantastic piece of work. It's really great.
Dan?
Yeah, pretty much everything Jim just said. The extra time for polish really shows in that map. It is absolutely gorgeous, especially when you get up on high. You feel like Darren said, you feel like you're in a full city, not just a little piece of buildings. There's a world beyond the street you're on. And I'm a phenomenal achievement whore. So as soon as I saw there were shotguns to collect all eight of, like that was my primary focus, trying to get all those. And the payoff was really good. That I fortunately had been to the church before, and so I knew when I went back that getting Father Grigori was my reward. And unfortunately, I think that was after I had played it through the first time. That was only on the second try. Yeah. And so I'd already done the full level. I'd already done the finale.
Okay.
But that for me was the highlight.
All right. Abraham?
I agree with what everyone else said, and I love the grenade traps. Like, I thought that was such an awesome and simple idea. And what I thought was great was that the zombies kind of used them too. Like, I think there was one point I stepped back to let the zombies trigger the trap. They triggered it, and then one of the zombies threw the grenade at me. I thought there was
really?
Damn it, I thought it fixed that.
Yeah, no, that
God damn
I
it.
I thought it was because, like, oh, they're getting smarter.
Why would you fix it? That's, like, so cool.
Yeah, that was really cool.
The issue was that, obviously, you've got the training traps, as I call them, at the beginning, where you have the trap at the start where there's no pressure, the player can observe and see how it works. And then you kind of go towards the street after the first capacitor, and there's a couple more grenade traps which zombies trigger. And zombies would knock the grenade out of the holder without actually activating the trap at times. So it was kind of breaking the whole teaching mechanic. That's why I was trying to fix it, but... Yeah.
He managed to knock the activated grenade out, not the non-activated one.
Okay, oh, well, that's fine.
I think I also really liked the, like, ambient zombies. Like, I looked at the VMF you left in the Planet Philip stuff, mm-hmm. and I liked the zombies that you just had walking around paths, just, like, spawning randomly. It was just really cool to, like, look down an alley, see a burning zombie walk by, and just, like, never see him again. You're like, oh, no, where is he?
Yeah.
Okay, so we all agree that the extra time that Darren had really made a difference, but I just want to point out that he had the obligation of finishing the map. So even if I had given everybody the same amount of time as Darren, many people would sort of stop. So I'm just trying to put the balance between, yes, the extra time is good, but, you know, he had agreed, yes, I will finish on time. So it's kind of like, you know, the best of both worlds. He's got the time, but he's got the commitment too. So, all right. Okay, so let's talk about other levels if you remember them. So we've got Burial, which was by George Campbell. Can anybody... Oh, I can hear paper moving. That means that people've got notes. Oh, I like it. Excellent.
I took down notes on the first playthrough for the reviews and, yeah, so have them still here.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. So my initial problem was that basically I got a little bit confused with some of those rooms where you have to use the handles to go up and down, but the door, the grates go up and down, and it's possible to jump in and out, and I managed to sort of jump out when I wasn't supposed to. Did anybody else, you know, try and break it like that?
No. Oh, I remember which map we're talking about now, yeah.
The one with the G-Man.
Yes, that's right.
I didn't have problems. No, for me, I mean, obviously, the look's fairly basic, but that doesn't bother me at all. That's fine. A map can be as basic as it needs to be. For me, it was more, it broke certain rules about fair gameplay, like spawning zombies directly behind you and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah, true.
That just makes you want to go, nah, go away.
Rage quit.
The issue I had was that because you had the generators dotted around the map that you had to power up in order to open doors and things like that. But I don't think they were really explained well enough. I had a lot of times where I was like, is this generator usable? If it's not, I don't really understand what I have to do to use it. And there were certain times where I'd power up a generator and I had to kind of guess what it did. It was like, obviously something has changed in the map, but it was like nothing's telling me what that actually did. So there was a couple of confusion there.
I kind of expected the generators to be more complex. Like, you'd have to turn one off to go and activate this other one, and then turn that one off to get back, and then turn them both on, and like those puzzles where you have to slide the tiles and you have to move another tile to move another one. I was expecting something like that, but it ended up being a lot simpler than that.
That's actually what I was expecting. As soon as I saw that there were multiple generators, And I'm kind of glad that it didn't go that route, that it was simpler. But yeah, it was sometimes really difficult to figure out exactly what the purpose of a generator was. And I know in some areas there were cables to sort of lead between things, but it wasn't always clear which cable was going to which thing.
Yeah.
I think it's also a good point around basically, there's a theory in theatre called Chekhov's gun, which is basically about if you put a gun on stage, the audience is going to expect it to be fired at some point in the performance, right? So there's this lift sitting there, and I'm thinking, great, okay, that's a thing.
That's what I'm going to be aiming for,
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, if the lift doors have been closed and it's been like, oh, whatever, I don't know, but it's just interesting to see what you put in, you know, in your map. The player is going to be, it's going to completely change the way the player thinks of what they should be doing, of what's important.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, all right. And the next map is the Exempli Gratia, which was by Rob Martins. Now, this was the one that sort of, you start what seems to be like a little room, but then you come out and you find that it was like almost like a prison. That was kind of a bit weird. Does everybody remember that?
Yeah. The whole map was hopefully a bit weird. Yeah. It was very, very abstract, crazy environments all the way through, really.
Yeah, but I thought that the puzzle in the big warehouse was fantastic. I really liked that, where you had to get the handle to get the water and the steam, and then you had this big machine, and then it started moving the cruncher and all that sort of stuff.
You know what it really reminds me of? Cry of Fear.
I haven't played it.
Okay, it's a Half-Life...
Thanks for spoiling it for me.
Yeah. It's a Half-Life 1 T scene. It's kind of like this horror... first-person kind of horror action game, I guess. But
Is it Cry of Fear or City of Fear?
Yeah, Cry of Fear.
Cry of Fear. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of that in a way. You got these crazy kind of. It looks like it's adorned with like realistic textures, but it doesn't feel real. There's this very, very kind of crazy, almost like dreamlike quality to the level. It's like just doesn't quite feel right. And like all the hooks moving around inside the area with all the machinery was very, very Cry of Fear-esque as well. It's cool.
I think someone actually mentioned, I was watching some people's demos and commentaries on the maps, and I think someone mentioned they felt like they were in a painting when they were playing the map.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, I thought it was a map of three sections. The initial section to get you into the warehouse, and then almost tacked on at the end this final battle around that sort of statue.
That battle was a bit weird at the end.
It was. I didn't like that battle at all, and I wasn't even sure if I was doing the right thing or what was I supposed to press the button or what. Yeah. But I just liked that main central area, and I think that if he had got rid of the rest, it might have been received in a better, you know, better light.
Maybe. I mean, the thing I thought about it was that we have... Oh, you know, you've got 2 weeks to do something. And actually, these Ville competitions are a chance to really experiment with something, you know, and to try something that you wouldn't normally do. So from that perspective, you know, I quite like the fact that he really kind of just explored some new ideas.
I actually kind of like the ending fight, because it felt like to me that you were, like, summoning citizens to your rescue. And I thought that was, like, a neat concept. The execution wasn't as good, but I like the idea.
Okay. James?
There were bits... To be honest, I never really worked out the middle puzzle, so I never really got past that. As I said, you know, I like the fact that he tried to do something different. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But hey, you know, at least people are trying, so that's great.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good attempt that mostly just suffered from execution. And for me, I think the primary thing was it was too big in an unfocused sort of way. That I spent that long time at the beginning wandering around the streets. When you get to the large machinery puzzle, whatever you want to call it, you're not in a position where you're locked in there until you solve it. You can sort of backtrack and wander around, and you sort of get this feeling of, you know, was there something I missed? When you're in the room, there's different areas of the building that you have to keep going between to try and figure out what you're looking for. Any one of those things should have been, I felt, a little more condensed, a little more edited down, you know, to have like all the puzzle in one general area instead of like two separate wings of a building.
I agree with you. I kept going back out of the building thinking I must have missed something. And you're right. If he'd have got us into the building through a window that we couldn't get back out of, then at least I'd say, okay, whatever I need has to be in here.
Actually, speaking of the window, I feel like I like the window, like, navigation puzzle to get the crank. But
okay.
I agree with you, Philip. If he had kind of just come through a window, I felt like it would have been easier to make that connection of how to get the crank.
True. I hadn't thought of that. I just used the window as an example of getting me in without letting me out again. But you're right. If I'd have gone in through a window, I might have thought of going out of a window to get the crank, because that took me a long time.
Yeah, it took me a long time as well. Yeah. I was sitting there with the gravity gun going, if I do it from over here, maybe, no, over here.
Yeah, I moved around ages, different places, different things. What if I fire something and blah.
Yeah.
And the only problem that I had with the final battle was I thought the arena was too big, because Half-Life zombies move fairly slowly, unless fast zombies, of course. And there's a certain point where when your arena is big enough that you can just sort of run around them and, like, ignore them, to just put distance between you, it kind of takes the thrill out of it, takes the difficulty out of it when you have that much freedom of movement.
Mm. Okay. And then the next entry is called Life Lost, and have to admit, I missed 60% of this when I first played it. I just ran through, I don't know why, maybe I was a girl and I was just like, oh, zombies, and I was like running and running and running, and all it would like finish, and I was thinking, no, that can't be right. So then I played it again and I realized I managed to jump half of the map, and I recognize that there's a benefit to getting players to explore, but not when it's like 50% of the map that you need to play. Darren, your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, this one felt like it needed some fences somewhere to stop exactly what you were talking about. That the player would actually have to explore a lot of the map and find. There's another issue where this is the map with the car batteries, right? We had to plug them in. Yeah, this is an issue where I found all the car batteries before I actually found what I needed them for.
Okay. Yeah, I think I found
a couple. They were all kind of placed before the actual puzzle. So it's a case of finding the key before you find the locked door, basically.
I think,
which I felt didn't quite feel right to me.
Are you sure? I mean, I'm not. I am questioning you, but I mean, that's an interesting point. Is that sometimes you find the key, so you know you're looking for a door, and not always. If you find a door, do you necessarily know that you're looking for a key? Unless it says this door is locked, find a key. What about the other designers? How do you feel about that? Do you give the key first and then the door?
I feel like giving the key can add an interesting, just an interesting mix on an old puzzle, but I'm trying to think of a good example. But I feel like there was one somewhere, but in most cases, I think it's a bad idea.
I mean, in Half-Life, do we always see the place where we put the batteries before we see the batteries?
Well, I think in that one coast level, it's possible to find the batteries first, but I think they're hidden in such a way that more likely than not, you're not going to run into them.
Yeah. I also think in that particular area of Half-Life 2, you can find the batteries. You see the gate really early, but you can find the batteries before you know that they're the key.
Yeah, if you don't know that they're important.
But I thought the interesting thing about this map was we've all played Half-Life 2, and so we understand the convention of batteries being used to power stuff. So I didn't think there was anything inherently wrong with finding the key because you knew it was a key.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, he's kind of playing with something we're already very familiar with, or at least we should be.
Go ahead.
One thing I find kind of odd about the puzzle is that you're supposed to use it to kill all the fast zombies coming at you, but if you get all the fast zombies to come at you, you can't get the batteries to there because the fast zombies will keep jumping you. For me, I eventually just saw bladed all the fast zombies in like a far corner, and then they just stopped coming after me. Turns out they were still spawning, but they just didn't know who I was.
The technical skill being shown in this map is really good. It looks great. Oh, it looks pretty good in my opinion. And everything works the way it should do. Like the battery puzzle isn't, you know, if you're not that great with hammer, it's not that easy to put together and make it work properly and that kind of thing. And you know, a lot of the rooms look good when you go find the shotgun and stuff like that. You know, the mapping is great. It's just the overall level that doesn't really work.
Yeah, the if you were to take individual sections and say, oh, this is good, this is good, but as a whole, it's just missing something. It's just missing that overall
the pacing
control. Icing. Yeah, not even icing. I think it's more, is the cake the right shape rather than the icing? For example, I mean, I'm looking at the screenshot where you can drop all of those iron girders, the RSJs we call them in English.
Oh, yeah. And
again, I'd killed all the zombies before I'd even seen that one. Mm. You know? But, I mean, that happened with James's car. So maybe it's not a design fault. It's a player fault.
On the wall saying trap with an arrow. What do you want?
Yeah, but when I got to that junction, I could turn left or I could turn right. The right was where the car was, and I just turned left and saw the zombies. Okay, so I'm an idiot. Okay, I'll put my hand up. All right, I got my hand up. All right, okay. So generally we feel that technically it was quite well done, but it really didn't bring everything together very well.
Actually, quick thing I want to say is I feel like the map should have done more to slow the player down. Like, I had this trouble in a couple other releases I had where, like, you as a mapper, you're kind of constantly trying to slow the player down. Like, that tunnel was just open. Maybe if you had put some boards or crates for a second, like, in front of the tunnel, the player would have, like, stopped and been like, oh, hey. Like, they would have given them pause, and they would have been thinking, oh, hey, let's explore over here or check some other route out. Just that
exactly.
Not real gating, but that slight bit of slowing down.
Yeah, to me, the trigger, there should have been a gate, and the trigger for the gate should have been up where the shotgun was. That would have allowed you to explore pretty much all of it and then, you know, then figure something out. But there you go.
All right, and the next one, and the last one, in fact, is These Peculiar Demons. Now, this was, I don't know if it's like the biggest map, but it certainly felt like the biggest map in the sense that it was a lot of area to cover. I mean, other maps might have been longer in the sense that you use the area better, but this one was just like huge.
I think this and map was too long.
Okay.
If I'm honest. It felt like a bit of a slog to get through it all.
Yeah, and I definitely think that it wasn't finished because there's this part where you move a metal, I don't really know how to describe it, a metal sheet that you can sort of climb onto the roof, and then by climbing onto the roofs you can climb on to other roofs and you can get out of the map. But I thought, I have to go this way. There's no other way for me to go. It's designed for me to do this. So what mistake did I make? Do you guys remember that part?
Yeah,
I had a couple of parts where I broke the scripting fairly heavily in the map, unfortunately.
I ended up going through the map backwards at one point, and there were unwoken like zombies around me, and I was bumping into them, and I was just shooting. Some of these zombies are appearing out of nowhere, and I'm killing them. It's quite weird.
Okay, but it had that interesting combine section.
Oh, yeah. That
was probably the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what did it do, but it was. I liked that part. I thought, okay, that's like a real change here because every other Raven home doesn't have anything combined in it, and this one did. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I kind of like that. But I think that I played that part backwards as well because I seemed to be going in the exit. You know, and I was like, okay, I must have gone wrong here somewhere. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, I was thinking I actually really liked the layout a lot. It has like a giant big swirl, and as soon as you exit the building and you see the church, like that was one thing that really stood out the map, made me really like it, was like the whole you can always see the church, and then when I got to the church I look around and I can point to like each building I'd gone through. I'm like, oh, I know this building. And I'm like, hey, I've been circling it the entire time.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Clever. That's, you know, there's definite thoughts to overall design of the, you know, the overall experience and the overall map, which is really
cool. Yeah. And the boss fight, as it were, that was quite fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I quite enjoyed that.
I think Gregory died on my playthrough.
Oh, yeah, me too.
He got stuck in a corner with just a whole bunch of zombies wailing on him for the entire fight. I was too busy running around outside dealing with everything else.
See, I didn't even know he could die, because he definitely got stuck in a corner and mobbed, and I just sort of ran around and did other things. And he didn't die for me, so I didn't know he was able to die in the game like that.
Yeah,
he died for me first time I played it. I think I played it twice as well, maybe three times. And again, it was that same idea of trying different tactical and strategic techniques to get through that section.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know, it's Yeah, I'm sure Darren doesn't really care if Grigori dies, though, because from what I understand, he hates him.
I just want to say one last thing. If memory serves, correct me if I'm wrong, this was the map with the saw blade launcher, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And I think that was one of the things that Jason made available for people. I'm not really sure. Because he was working on something and he said, look, you know, I'm just not doing it, but I've got these things available. If you want it, take them. Yeah, but again, I'd kill all the bloody zombies before I realised what to do.
Yeah, that could have been done. That should have been in a much wider area, I think, like with way more zombies to just have more fun with it. But unfortunately, it was a tight little corridor and it didn't really get much use.
I think I've got to be the ultimate beta tester because I always make these mistakes and people say, oh, but didn't you use that? And it was like, oh, is that what it was for? So, all right, just sort of off topic a little bit. How do you feel about the custom models that I included? Because I was watching General VV on his Twitch channel playing through Ravenholmville, and he told me that he removed them because it broke the immersion for him. What are your thoughts on that, Darren?
Yeah, I think I don't mind them as much now, but I really didn't like them when they were glow in the dark. Because that really broke a lot of hiding places and a lot of maps for like crates.
That's
and
the
stuff.
Crates. I mean, I could take the crates out.
Yeah, but I mean, I think maybe there's just too much of it all over the place. Like you've got it on the like shipping containers and stuff as well, don't you?
So on the shipping containers, on the big crates.
Yeah.
And on the some barrels.
I mean, I think just like perhaps you should just give maps a decal they can put in the map somewhere. Perhaps that's perhaps a little bit less immersion breaking. But yeah, they don't bother me as much now. But they were worse in the past.
Okay, James.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? I feel like you're somehow sponsoring me.
No. I mean, don't. I mean, if you say you hate them, tell me you hate them.
I think we're all quite used to them now, and anybody who's played these are quite used to them, and I don't think it really detracts from it. But I don't know. Yeah, less is more. You know.
You're never going to win again. All right, and moving on, Dan.
Yeah. The very first time I played one of the competition maps and saw them. And I think it was actually Ambushville, and it was in one map where I think I played the second one first, which you start out in a train facing a whole bunch of crates. And it was definitely an immediate negative reaction. Mostly because it is a lot seeing it on every single crate, every single barrel. It's a little bit of overload. I almost wish you could do like it only appears on every like 10th crate you come across or something, but obviously that'd be difficult. Yeah, it's a little bit much, especially with how reliant Half-Life is on using barrels and crates for set decoration.
Yeah.
Okay. Abraham?
I actually I can see how it breaks immersion for people, but I actually kind of it takes a lot to break immersion for me. So the first time I saw it, I actually kind of laughed a little, but then I think it was Ambushville, yeah. But in that Ambushville map, there was very few crates and barrels, and then that does get a little bit overloading. I think it'd be funny to like put it on other things, like NPCs, like you have a headcrab, a little planet Phillips.
Put it on the on the cars, like NASCAR.
Yeah, okay. I'll take it out for the next one. I mean, basically, I'm just trying to ensure that people don't steal the maps and release them elsewhere without credit, because it does happen.
I feel like the decal is a better idea. Having like wanted to use it.
Okay. All right. I'll take it out. And the crate is the ammo crate, for example, is the wrong one anyway, because I had that made just for my panoramic images. So again, people wouldn't steal the file and put it on their website and then, you know, not give me credit for it. I mean, I see things from a webmaster's point of view in this particular case rather than a designer. But all right, I'll take it out.
Also, strictly speaking, the material change isn't in the map itself. It's in the mod. So someone could take the BSP.
Absolutely. Yeah. But when I built it with the panoramic image, they can't take it out. It's just an SWF file. And once they open that file, it's there and they can't remove it. But yeah, you're right. For the mod, they could.
Yeah, with a decal, it would show up way more if there was a decal being used actually within the map.
All right, okay.
Isn't it with the mod, you have that intro? So if they were to take the mod and put it on the website without credit, you still get that Planet Philip splash screen when you start the mod?
Yeah, but I suppose they could... they've got the mod, they could take out the mod image, they could take out the intro video, they could take everything out.
Yeah, true. I think...
All right. Okay, so if you were to... Not you, Darren, so much, but if you were to have 10 days to build another Ravenholmville map, what would you do differently? Starting with you, Dan.
I don't know that I'd do a lot differently beyond try and... Obviously, I'm hyper aware of all the things that are wrong, and I would try and fix them, which is how it goes. Mostly fix, for me, the pacing and having a little bit more towards the end to separate like the big headcrab battle from the big zombie battle. In general, I was pretty happy with individual areas and individual concepts for set pieces. It was mostly, to me, just the pacing and the quantity.
Okay. All right. Abraham?
I would have added more dynamic resupplies, like, I want to say, not noob gates, but, like, mechanisms for fallback if the player was in a really, really bad situation. Because when I designed the map, I wanted to experiment with having everything there be set. Like, if you break open a crate, it always has this item in it. Because I wanted to see how that would affect in playtesting. But it turns out that some guys got really low on health. So if I had, I would use the mechanics in the map so that if people are on good health, they won't get anything at this certain point. But if they're in like a bad situation, like the fast zombie ambush in the apartments, there'd be like a bit of SMG ammo and maybe a health pack at the end if they needed it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Difficulty balancing.
All right, yes. James?
I definitely build more into the graveyard area. The problem I had was that I had this, you know, I had a holdout area with the fast zombies out in the field behind the church, and then I had this big sort of, after a week, I was like, oh God, I've got to redo the whole thing. And I was like, oh, I need to wrap this up with some kind of finale. And so I ended up with another holdout area, literally about, you know, a minute on from my last one. So I would definitely try and build more gameplay into the graveyard area to keep the player there, to make it feel a bit more,
solid.
A bit less, two sections exactly the same, one after the other.
Okay, all right.
That kind of reminds me, actually in my holdout, it's possible if you just don't kill all the zombies or run around to have like 24 zombies in the arena just practically packed together.
Wow.
if I were to redo it, I'd probably fix up the scripting so that to stop that from happening.
The same can happen in the finale of my map. Where I don't know if it's something just broken in Half-Life in general, but the I can't think what the entity is called, but the spawner that's supposed to have, like, you know, you can spawn 5 zombies and it'll spawn 1 every 2 seconds or whatever and then stop, for me, simply wasn't working. It just spawns zombies forever. And so, and that's a considerably larger area, I think. So you could definitely just sort of run around and have an absolute tide of zombies occupying the entire space.
All right. Well, that would have been fun with the gravity gun and saw blades, like a million saw blades.
Getting into Doom territory here.
Yeah, almost. Okay, so in general, we feel that the competition was a success, both from, you know, enjoying to build maps for it and the final maps that we got. Darren?
Yeah, I think the theme was great because it was a theme rather than a specific gameplay requirement, which I really, really like. So let people do whatever they want, as long as it's in Ravenholm. So, yeah, loved it, and the maps were great. Yeah.
Okay. James?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about Ravenholm is that it's very much a standalone section of Half-Life 2. I mean, obviously, they've kind of done stuff like it in Episode 1 and Episode 2, but Ravenholm is so iconic, and it almost rips you out of Half-Life 2 and plonks you in a completely different game for, you know, 3 or 4 levels, or 3 or 4 maps, and then you're back into the thing again. So I think that's why it works as a sort of a standalone concept competition so well, because you can literally just pull it out. You don't need a context, and you can just, you know, dive straight in.
Okay. Dan?
Yeah, I agree. It has a completely defined aesthetic, level structure, approach to combat. And as far as the competition in general, you know, anytime someone releases one map that you enjoy, it's a net benefit. It's a map you wouldn't have played before. And anytime, as just simply an exercise for someone to map who maybe hasn't before, it's great to have that sort of prompt for inspiration. So I think it's unquestionable that it's a good idea and that it was successful in pretty much any measurable regard. Obviously, there's going to be some lesser quality maps and some greater quality maps, but that's totally expected.
Yeah, absolutely. Abraham?
Speaking on what Jim said, the layout, like, Ravenholm has an interesting level design if you look back on it. Like, it's real mazy and kind of almost just different from the rest of Half-Life 2, so it gave mappers a lot of leeway of how they could interpret it. And also the turnout was great for the contest. Like, you got some mediocre maps and then some really good maps, and just everything fell in between there and just had a lot of good entries.
And the bonus, I think the bonus is, I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I think my idea of a bonus map is a really good one.
Yeah.
Because it means that whatever happens, there's going to be one great map, assuming that the theme is a good one to start with. So, okay, well, I'd like to thank everybody for joining me today. There will be another competition, and I can probably say that James will be building the bonus map this time.
Yeah, I really so proud of you just said
no pressure, that. James. Remember, it's going to be great.
Actually, do you want me to bleep that? I can edit this part out.
It's absolutely fine because I'm making progress. I'm just going to say that.
Okay. Have you started already?
Yeah, I've already got like a fair few sections built. So.
Oh, okay.
What's
excellent.
The theme?
Okay. Yeah, no, there's no. I'll give you my PayPal account, and as long as the right amount of money's deposited, I'll let you have the details.
Put it this way, right? My first attempt at building this, I sent it to Darren, and he came back and went, "It's horrible. What are you doing? It's horrible. Make it go away."
Okay, so Darren knows what the theme is as well, then.
No, I don't think theme-wise, he was just testing a map.
Okay. No, I'm kind of cool. So I haven't really thought about it, but probably in a couple of weeks, maybe a month, I'll announce the next competition, and then there'll be a 10-day period. So other designers listening to this, hopefully you're interested, and everybody here, you know, Darren, Dan, and Abraham, hopefully you'll find the theme interesting enough to enter. So fingers crossed for that. So thank you for joining me today. Thank you, Darren.
No problem.
And enjoy the hot weather back in the UK. Thank you, James.
Thanks. I'm off to the park.
Okay, well done. Darren, back to bed, I suppose.
Yes.
Okay, we'll sleep well. And Abraham, back to bed as well, I suppose.
Yes, definitely.
All right, well, enjoy your sleep. Thanks to everybody, and we'll be back on for the next podcast probably after the next competition. So goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Yep.
Remember, finishing Half-Life is just the beginning.